gave your mom a cold start.
She died.
There we go. That'll do.
That'll do, pig.
What, your mom's here?
Mateo, ready?
And now it's time for another superhero time. With your hosts, XV.
It's all about the butt.
Hey, Mickey.
Everybody loves dicks.
Paladin.
That's the magic butt.
Ken.
It's in Miss America's pants.
And Fort Max.
No, no, that goes into the ass.
Not in here.
All right, it's superhero time. You know, clever things go here. Except not really, because it's superhero time. Clever things would go here if we were a better show.
I put clever things in your mom.
She died.
Sad trombone. I'm XV. With me is Hey Mickey, Fort Max, and Paladin.
Hello.
Yo.
What up?
Not necessarily in that order. Ken is not with us this week.
He's no longer with us.
Yeah. What happened?
He passed away. Oh, no. I'm sorry. He's just working.
He probably He probably wishes he had passed away. The way he talks about his job.
Well, it's retail. You're supposed to hate it.
Yeah.
It builds character.
Well, it at least makes you appreciate the people who continue to work retail later in life. And by appreciate, I mean feel a deep pity for. Except for the ones that are assholes. I just kind of let them be, you know, they deserve to be there.
Or are they assholes because they're there?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a little column A, a little column B.
It's a chicken and the egg.
Yeah, I mean, I can see starting out as a nice person and then, you know, years and years of the retail experience would turn you into a dick. But I could also see, okay, you're a dick and you're still in retail because you're such a dick you can't do anything else.
Oh, sure. They could always be cops.
Well, yeah, but there's usually like a physical fitness requirement and most retail people don't seem to have that.
Well, I'm not so sure about a requirement for physical fitness, at least around here.
Well, the ones around there are probably, you know, they had to meet their requirements when they joined, but then once they were in, they could let it all go again.
The general rule of thumb is that you can tell how long someone's been on the force the same way you can tell how old a tree is.
By cutting them in half and counting the rings?
Exactly.
Interesting. Does a lot of that happen down where you are? Cops getting
no,
cut in half?
It's never proven, but generally, you know, the bigger around, the longer they've been on the force.
Hmm. Well, that makes sense. It's kind of the same way with marriage. The longer people have been married, the bigger they get.
And the more you wish someone would cut you in half.
That's very likely also. So anyway, this is the Toku Podcast. I have no idea what we've been doing for the last 2 minutes. So said your mom.
2 years.
Oh, 2 years. Don't remind me. Well, you know, our 100th episode is coming up, too, pretty soon. If we don't miss any more weeks in the meantime, it'll fall on the week of February 13th.
And now we'll miss at least three more.
Yeah,
not available that day.
Well, we could do it on the 14th. Are you good then?
No, because I might be going out of town for the 14th and the 13th.
Well, sure. Drop that on me at the last minute. Well, I guess we'll have to miss
another
week.
Maybe, I don't know yet. I mean,
I guess we'll have to miss another week before then. You will be back on the 21st, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We can record it Wednesday night.
Is anybody else available on Wednesday night?
I can try to be.
Yeah, I am.
Well, of course Fort Max is. And then I could easily miss RFC that week. This show is much more important than Radio Free Cybertron.
Let's just invite all of RFC over
to our
show.
What, Mickey?
Let's invite all of RFC over to our show.
Well,
why? I don't hate them that much.
Yeah, actually, come to think of it, Wednesday wouldn't work because if we do the live on video 100th episode, we need JD on that week because he's got the stuff to actually make that happen. I'm not set up for that here.
He's got magic stuff that makes it happen.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll schedule this later. My fault for
this
bringing
is
it up. This is like the best first 5 minutes of our show we've ever had.
All right, let's start f***ing this chicken. Paladin, new show.
I couldn't have said that any better.
Okay, there's some new samurai toys out, believe it or not. They actually released the last missing Zord from the line. The Bull Zord.
Oh, well, with a bull.
It certainly is a third piece to the Megazord puzzle.
Now, Paladin, you have the Mogu Dio, don't you?
Had, but yeah.
Well. Are you going to get the Bull Zord?
I doubt it.
Okay, then. Never mind a comparative review.
Well, for one, it actually has legs rather than a box.
Yes, but at the same time, Mogu Dio is a more convincing ox cart when it's in ox cart mode.
And it looks like they have the same transformation, too.
What, stand up?
And move the arms.
That's similar to your mom's transformation, except without the standing up part.
On its own is pretty terrible. However,
so it's
combined...
It's the last Zord.
Yeah.
Thank you,
but
Fort
combined, Mac. The whole combined Gigazord Dealybob is very, very stable. It stays put. It doesn't fall over. Parts don't fall off. It's a much more solid engineering feat than the America G12 was.
Which makes sense since it's their second pass at a Cluster Zord.
Yeah.
Of course, if they would have given us a Dragon Zord for Power Rangers 2010, we could have had the next best thing. But no.
People would have wanted that. So of course we can't have it.
If they gave us a Dragon Zord, it'd be the wrong scale for either the other two Zords. So.
And plus, there really wouldn't be a way to connect the Dragon Zord's chest plate to Titanus.
They'd make the American Dragon Zord a Tamashii Web exclusive just to screw with us even more.
Rubber bands. They would do it with rubber bands, Fort Max. I was going to say something else, but... You know, I'm kind of disappointed they never did Micro Zords for Power Rangers 2010. Because, you know, that way we could have... They would have only had to do, like, two waves and we would have got the whole set. So, even if it would have pulled an RPM and the last two waves only came out in England, we still would have got everything that mattered. I really liked Micro Zords. Clearly I'm alone
well,
in this.
I think you're alone in that.
No, they were good and they're much... better than the closest thing Bandai of Japan has.
Well, and plus, Paladin, you have to remember, for Overdrive, the Micro Zords were the best set of Zords you could buy.
Damning with faint praise, but yes.
Well, you know, I've got enough Micro Zord sets to do whatever they called Ultimate Daibokan in Overdrive.
I'm pretty sure it was Ultra Zord.
Probably. I couldn't remember what Ultra Zord, though. But anyway, I've got, you know, all the ones needed to do that, and it works out pretty well. You don't have to have any, like, redundant slipper Zords or anything to get everything.
So yeah, that is much better than the regular scale.
Yeah!
I don't know what the f*** they were thinking with that year.
Well...
That's exactly the problem. They weren't.
No, I mean, you have to look at it being kind of an experimental process. They knew they wanted to develop their own Zord toys focused for the U.S. market, but they weren't exactly sure how or what they needed to do to make that work. It wasn't until the next year where they kind of got the hang of it.
And realized that, okay, we actually need to have them be able to form the modes.
See, that's what I'm saying. They needed to figure out what needed to happen with these new Zords.
I wanted to, like, where they thought that, okay, not having the sub be able to fold in half, why that was a good idea.
I always wanted to see the sub be portrayed as a cruise ship rather than a submarine. It wouldn't make any more sense, but it would be much more funny. The cruise ship Zord. But, you know, I would say after, I mean, including and following Jungle Fury, the American Zord toys have managed to be pretty competent.
And in some cases, better toys.
Yeah, you could say that.
Like that giant box at Toys R Us during Jungle Fury.
Yes, I still regret not buying one of those. That's one of the few Jungle Fury toys that Toys R Us does not still have. Although, actually, I think Toys R Us managed, like, around here, Toys R Us managed to clear out a lot of the old Jungle Fury stock. Once they switch to samurai.
I haven't seen any Jungle Fury in a while. There's still a few Dragon Knight toys hanging around.
There's always going to be a few Dragon Knight toys hanging around.
And here they went all the way back to Mystic Force.
Did they?
Yes.
What, like Manticore Megazords, or...?
Just a few of the regular action figures are still on the shelf here.
Weird. Which ones?
The ones where they're on those broomstick speeder things.
Oh, those little... Those are like dollar store fodder.
Yeah.
Wonder how your Toys R Us ended up with some of those.
I don't know, but they're not even on clearance either.
Well, it's Toys R Us.
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing that goes on clearance at Toys R Us is Prince of Persia the week it comes out.
Well, it should.
Yeah, I would say so.
I think those Jurassic Park toys recent from...
From 2005?
No, from, like, last year.
Well, I'm sure those new Jurassic Park toys have been hanging around for at least 5 years. Okay, so what else is in the news?
The new Figuarts we mentioned last time have all gone up for order and sold out almost immediately.
Which ones were those? I don't remember.
Foes Firestay, Super Shinken Red, and Kamen Rider Torque.
Ah. Or Zolda, if you go by the Ryuki names.
Well, whatever.
And also, there, I think on Bandai's Polish website, there were some pictures of Super Mega Mode Samurai Rangers.
It was yellow and pink, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
That just works so well, putting a bathrobe on top of a football uniform.
Well, they don't, though. They just color the top of the football uniform white. Which makes
sense. Yeah,
that's
very Bandai of them.
It makes sense because it's easier to produce the costumes for that then. You know, all they need to do is run a spare set of the torso pieces and paint them a different color. But, you know, considering we got figures of the regular super modes, you know, counting it all together, the Samurai Rangers are going to have quite a few form changes, including Red's Battleizer.
Oh, and speaking of Red's Battleizer...
Yes. Good segue, huh?
You're listening to Superhero Time Segue Off a Cliff.
Exactly. A new item turned up on ToysRUs.com, which is still in stock, apparently. The Shogun Buckle.
Otherwise known as a face on your crotch.
Precisely, yes.
Looks like it belongs on the wall of some Nickelodeon game show set.
Well, it's part of Power Rangers Samurai, so isn't that accurate?
Pretty much. It's a very,
crotch face.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all you can really say about it. It's a face on a belt. It looks very angry.
But it's a rider belt.
But then I would be pretty angry, too, if my face was on somebody's belt.
And that close to somebody's junk?
Well, that kind of goes with the being on the belt. I mean, I like the way...
places to be.
Well, yeah, but we can't fit a belt around your mom's ass. What I do like about the design of the toy is, you know, you push the button, the belt opens, and then the flaps form the helmet detail around the samurai face. That's kind of cool, but it's just not something I would see put on a belt. That's my problem with it.
The minor upside is it's like the first Battleizer in 7 years that isn't a repaint of someone else's morpher.
Yeah, the last one of those was... Did Lost Galaxy even have an actual Battleizer transformation toy?
Wasn't it Wild Force?
Yeah, I want to say Wild Force.
Probably so, yeah. Because they just used the... that was a belt, too, actually, in Wild Force. I'm surprised they didn't just reuse the mold.
Nope. Come to think of it, did any of the other Battleizers before Wild Force actually have their own morpher?
Yeah, the very first one did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the Battleizer name actually comes from...
Yes, but that was a pre-existing thing that wasn't specifically just for the Battleizer armor.
No, but it's what activates the Battleizer armor, so it's your Battleizer toy for that year. And then I don't think Lost Galaxy or Time Force had special toys for the Battleizer.
And in Lightspeed, the Battleizer was a motorcycle.
Which also did not have... Well, it was just a code on the Battle Booster, wasn't it?
It could have been.
It probably was. They did that for everything else in the show. So I guess technically that's also a Battleizer toy, but it's even more of a vagueness than the original Battleizer. So moving along. Oh, one thing though before we do that I just remembered I wanted to bring up. Okay, I mean, we know that like rider belts are pretty small because Japanese children are not typically huge. But we all know what American kids look like. So how big do you think this belt is actually going to be?
42 inch?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's not going to fit an adult waist either way. But, I mean, it's not like they can really make it like a 19-inch belt and still expect that the average child will be able to wear it.
You expect they're going to actually include a belt?
Well, it looked like it had a belt in the picture. It didn't look
well,
like it was
like most
Band
of America products, they only pay attention to the front of it. The belt stops halfway around.
Because I'm just like your mom. I wouldn't be surprised if it's something like, you know how the various guns would come with the holster and the buckle front part?
Yeah, I have several.
There would be an actual belt that they would go on the Japanese version, but you had to come up with your own thing for these.
No, I guess that's actually a good point. They could just put clips on it.
Yeah.
So that you can hang this angry face from your pants. But I'm just saying, the picture that we have looks like it has a belt with it. But of course, it's a Bandai promotional photo. It doesn't really necessarily have anything to do with the actual product that will be released.
That barely even confirms it exists. I don't think anyone's had one shipped yet.
Well, yeah, because we have, like, promotional photos of the of White Mystic Ranger, which never came out because they couldn't find a store that would take another girl Power Ranger toy, just as one example. So, yeah, there is no proof it actually exists yet. So, moving along.
Not to be outdone in terms of new merchandising, we now have Figuarts Super Tatoba.
Yeah, well...
Tamashii Web exclusive, of course, because, you know, there just aren't enough O's Tamashii Web exclusive figures yet.
They just realize that Super Tatoba is hideous and nobody really wants to buy it.
Or no retailer wanted to buy it.
Well, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, the
just
retailers.
Like Rocket States.
The retailers don't want to buy it because they know none of their customers will really want to buy it. But, you know, Forza Rocket States is actually really cool looking with all that orange and two rockets for arms.
But
if
how
I really cool
turn
looking,
it off?
I mean. Lame.
Magic hand.
Magic fingers. Super Tatoba looks less bad as a figure than it does as a costume, but that's because, as was pointed out elsewhere, the figure arts doesn't look like it's wearing poorly sewn together raincoats.
Yeah, that is probably the most apt observation.
Well, yeah, I mean, it put into words what I was already thinking of the way the texture of the yellow parts of the Super Tatoba costume looked. You know, it's all baggy and wrinkled looking. It doesn't look like a rider suit. Looks like bad cosplay.
Leave your mother out of this.
Yeah. Well, she can be baggy and wrinkled. The fat fills all that in.
Your mom's both.
Your mom is like a overfilled beanbag chair. Although I think I've used that joke before. So I assume none of you are going to get a Super Tatoba.
I haven't got a regular Tatoba yet.
Me either. Although I understand they're pretty
cheap.
Wait till
they go on clearance.
I understand you can get them pretty cheap, actually. And if you
get, they're on Amazon right now.
And if you get a pre-owned one, you know, like $20, I've seen them go for. If you like, you know, look at sales threads places. Although I have not been having the best of luck with that lately, but that's another show.
Speaking of which, your shit's done and it looks great.
Oh, cool! Thank you. And we're just going to leave that there and not explain.
It's very shiny.
Cool.
That's what she said.
But it's all, like, uniform all over it?
Unless you look at it from, like, an extreme light source, it's completely invisible.
Okay, cool. That's just perfect. I will be looking forward to getting that later this week.
Yes.
Thank you again. Okay, so what else is news?
Well, apparently the Kamen Rider Versus movie for next year has a title confirmed. Superhero Tyson, All Kamen Riders Versus All Super Sentai.
Wow, how creative.
These names just keep getting more and more creative.
Ultra Magnus dies.
Let's just call the next one like Tokusatsu movie number 23.
Maybe they will.
And when does this come out?
I believe they're shooting for May.
Okay, so it's going to be like Super Sentai 199 for this year.
That's the theory at the moment.
Yeah, that makes sense given the timing. Actually, I guess it'll
be... What, three movies a year?
Like between Sentai and Riders?
Well, there's like a spring movie, a late summer movie, then a Christmas movie.
Christmas? Oh, the... Well, okay, yeah. The Rider series generally has a summer movie and now a movie wars at the end of the year. And the Sentai usually gets a crossover movie and a summer movie.
But Double had a movie in the middle of the summer too, right? Or late summer?
That was the summer Rider movie I referred to originally.
Well, the one that was Begins Night then. I thought that one was in spring.
No, Begins Night was the movie wars from the previous year.
That's right, it was. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, gotcha.
The spring movie thing started in 2011 with 199 and whatever the Rider movie was called. I cannot remember off the top of my head.
The O is Wonderful?
No, that was the summer movie.
So Movie War Core?
No, that was the winter movie. There was the one in the spring between them. Fort Max, you must remember.
Mega Max?
No, then Mega... Right, let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So that's...
Oh, the Deno movie.
Yeah, when it comes to problems with Rider movies, just blame Deno.
So yes, those two movies are what kicked off the addition of a spring movie into the whole formula. Because people will go to see it and they will make money making this movie. Okay, so...
And the first round of GoBuster pre-orders have opened.
Oh, how expensive is everything?
Well, right now it's just the candy toys and some albums.
Well, that's kind of dull.
They'll get to the stuff that matters in a couple weeks, I think.
So, Fort Max, are you going to go on a candy toy binge this year?
Probably not. Too expensive.
You're still sitting on the Ghost Sager ones, aren't you?
Some of them, yeah.
You're never going to get rid of that shit. I want to say sad trombone, but I'm just too busy laughing. But what do you have left out of that?
Actually, I've kind of forgotten that I've had them.
Well, it is Ghost Sager.
That's how Ghost Sager should be remembered. Forgotten.
Okay, so very quickly, any remaining news items?
Yes, Akiba Ranger.
Okay, so what is this?
Toei is launching an unofficial other Super Sentai project in April.
Unofficial, how does that work?
I think it'll work kind of like Kamen Rider G.
Either that or McNash is going to be all over it.
Oh, snap.
Well, except that Kamen Rider G was not even produced directly by Toei.
I think it just means that they're not going to count this in the numbering for the Super Sentai series.
I can accept that. And it's going to run on a cable channel instead of TV Asahi. Is that right?
That's Paladin? The implication I'm getting so far. We don't have any other details about it yet, so everything's subject to change.
Probably its existence is subject to change, too.
Well, that's always the case.
Maybe this is that cartoon Power Rangers that Disney kept promising us.
Yeah, you know, that's going to totally happen next year.
Tim Curry.
Okay, so is that it for the news?
Yes, I think that's finally through the news.
About time. Well, if we wouldn't have had to sit and, you know, bullshit about the Dragonzord for 5 minutes, we would have been done, you know, 3 or 4 minutes earlier. Okay, so let's get to, who's doing Forze?
I'll volunteer.
All right. Well, let's switch on, I guess. I don't know. I'll decide later.
Yeah, good enough.
Switch on!
Okay, we got 2 episodes, so make it quick.
All right, 417. The new exchange student, Ryusei Sakuda. Is that how you pronounce it? I can't remember.
It's like Sakura, but with a T in it instead of an R.
Ryusei Sakuda also known as Kamen Rider Meteor, tries to get along with Gentaro and stumbles into the rabbit hutch after school. And during his investigation, he gets answers from a mysterious masked man called Tachibana, who apparently operates the new Sky Vault and knows all about the asteroids.
Now, that's not to be confused with Space Garen, this Tachibana.
Yes. This Tachibana, I'm calling it now. He's Kengo's dad.
Totally. I think he's Char.
He's Shroud.
I was going to say, can't be Char. Where's the red?
Well, that's true. He didn't always pile the red mobile suit, but he was always dressed in red. Very, very inconspicuous that way. We also have not proven whether he's 3 times faster yet or not.
Well, Meteor does look pretty fast, but he's not red either.
No.
Okay. In the meantime, the Link Zodiart shows up and causes more chaos at the high school. Forz uses multiple switches to remind people that they're still for sale. To test their capabilities.
Ha ha!
And Kengo confirms that the Zodiarts are getting stronger than their current arsenal can allow.
Of course, it doesn't help when you're giving essentially a big... when you're trying to use them as a cat toy.
There was that aspect of it, too. But, you know, Chain Array just makes such a good cat dangler.
Cats love dangly things.
I don't get calling it Chain Array either. It's a ball and chain.
It should be called Wife Array. But I'm bumpsh.
And towards the end, Link's Kim kidnaps JK and Foz decides to rescue him for reasons I cannot possibly fathom. And Meteor shows up to stop him from finishing off the Link Zodiart.
With the power of his amazing disco belt.
Meteor reveals that he is after one Zodiart in particular, Ares. So he will allow Link to evolve past last one to see if he's it. And then episode 18 begins with Meteor and Foz fighting over their stance on the Zodiarts, but they're interrupted by Tomoko saying that Kamen Riders should not be rivals. Obviously
she hasn't watched enough TV. She hasn't watched enough series.
She's never
yet.
Watched Kamen Rider before.
Right.
After the fight, a flashback with Ryusei confirms that his best friend was horribly injured by a Zodiart switch given to him by Ares. And while visiting the hospital, Ryusei received his belt and made contact with Tachibana to begin hunting for horoscopes.
And so, best friend. Yeah, I'm not really buying that.
Well, they haven't given context for that yet, but I'm sticking to it for now.
You probably just owed him money.
Well, no, I'm sure Ryusei was...
benefits.
I'm sure Ryusei was a much nicer person before, you know, his friend got put into a coma. Kind of like Terry. You know, before his family got frozen and shattered in front of his face. I'm sure he was a very nice boy. Well, yes, of course.
No, it's Decade's fault.
Or Deno's.
Anyway, the Kamen Rider Club is startled to find Ryusei in the rabbit hutch the next day, and he explains that he saw the door opening before, and now he wants to join up, without revealing his Meteor identity. And amazingly, Gentaro is the one who says no and justifies that Ryusei is hiding himself from everyone, and therefore they can't trust him yet. I had no idea Gentaro was that deep.
I think it's probably his more of an example of his insanity.
Could be.
The depth of his insanity?
Yes. Everyone likes this guy. I can't like him. There's something wrong.
Well, that's basically how I function. Everybody likes this. I probably need to hate it. But it gets better later.
So the Link Zodiart receives an army of Dust Stars to attack the school again, including Suspenders Dude. Yelts, what the hell's up with all the ninjas? So Forz uses a new switch to track down Lynx, the Wheel, which lets him segue right out the window.
And up the walls and
off the walls.
Yeah.
Alas,
there the walls too, but we didn't see all of it.
Wheel is like the perfect example of what I don't like about Forza. Is that it makes it too much into a Looney Tunes cartoon.
And you didn't think this was the case with Brush?
No, I'm just saying that this particular episode here, that's an example of what about Forza turns me off. Is it's just too silly.
Well, I don't think anybody thinks Wheel is really a good idea, especially when he has
No, I'm not. I mean, just from a design, it's like, why would you really even write something that retarded into this?
Merchandising.
Plus, Kengo's dad was probably going insane by the time when he was with the later switches. So
oxygen deprivation is a very interesting process.
But I'm not talking about Kengo's dad. I'm talking about the show writers and the toy makers. It's the Wheel Switch seems like to be much more at home in Super Sentai than in a Kamen Rider show.
Maybe Car Ranger.
Well, it's just kind of like a different take on Bert's caterpillar legs, except it looks stupider. I mean, I get what you're saying, and, you know, it makes sense only from the perspective of, well, this would be good to have on the toy, and then we just have to throw it in the show somewhere. You know.
So anyway, Meteor transforms to go after the two of them, but thanks to Billy the Rod, Lynx is defeated. Ryusei comes out and punches Gintaro in the jaw, exclaiming that he doesn't understand why he suddenly lost control of his emotions like that.
Well, no, it didn't exactly go that way. Ryusei came out and punched Gintaro in the face because he was so angry that Gintaro just killed Lynx.
But his excuse to Gintaro is that he doesn't understand why it happened, so he doesn't
because he has to cover
identity.
Right. And see, when he came out and punched him and started screaming at him, I was like, well, that was a short-lived secret. That was almost sideways level secret identity.
Which except side? Oh, wait, never mind.
Except it wasn't followed by a, fooled you, you know.
No, that's for Gal Ranger, but we'll get to that. Gintaro, on the other hand, doesn't care that much because Ryusei has now shown his true self and appreciates his capabilities for befriending the shit out of people with his fists.
It's very G Gundam.
And that's when Libra shows up to fight, and he brings Scorpio along with him, which I did not expect to see, to be honest.
Because she went and begged the chairman guy, whatever, to get her switch back.
Yeah, begged. That's the word for what she did to get the switch back.
Well, she was on her knees. That's the typical begging position.
Among other things. Foes takes on Lynx while Meteor handles Scorpion, and Meteor uses his Rider Punch ability to finish off Scorpion again, letting the Kamen Rider Club get a glimpse of the real Scorpion user. But they still don't know who it is.
But my, she's dressed suspiciously like Miss Sonata.
But it couldn't
be.
Now, to be fair, she
got that outfit at Belk, and there's all kinds of women wearing that.
Nice.
And as the episode ends, Meteor again refuses to befriend Foes, saying that they have different ideas on how friendship is supposed to work.
Or justice, or whatever.
Which is an interesting concept, so I hope it plays out a little bit more.
Oh, well, considering Gintaro's idea of friendship is punching people.
And we mustn't forget that the chairman just sent Miss Sonata to the next dimension.
No, the home for infinite losers.
She's gone to Otherworld.
And we have now met the Virgo horoscope.
I bet that's a dude underneath the costume. By which I mean the secret identity is a dude. I'm sure the stunt person is a dude.
Well, they did take us out with Scorpio, dude. So...
That's kind of what I'm saying. It would be a good balance to how they played Scorpio.
And next week, magnets.
How the f*** do they work?
Tune in next time to find out.
Well, that was pretty good, Paladin. You did 2 episodes in 15 minutes.
We should talk some about Meteor, though, on his own, because he's really f***ing awesome.
I think the wire work for him was much improved in these 2 episodes.
I didn't really notice much wire work, but his fighting moves seemed a lot more dialed in.
Like they actually had time to plan some of it?
Yeah.
Even they don't have to cram him in the last few minutes to introduce the character and sell merchandise, it can be good.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to go for here. You know, it makes it seem much more obvious that his first appearance at the end of 16 was shoehorned in very much at the last minute. They didn't have time to get everything arranged and choreographed as tightly as they would have liked. Like your mom.
I'm also a big fan of how they're setting up his character in relation to Gintaro. And that he finds Gintaro's vision of friendship to be cheap and meaningless.
I can see that.
It's not that he doesn't value friendship, because he does, because that's why he's doing everything is for his friend. Mm-hmm. It's just he sees what Gintaro's calling friendship is shallow.
Right.
And that's a clever way to
talk. I like the dynamic between the characters there.
Yeah. If they keep Meteor being this interesting, he's going to turn the show around for me.
Well, I mean, look back to Deno. They kept Yuto pretty much the same way for much of the length of the series. So I definitely think they can do that again here.
I'm still not a big fan of the Jeet Kune Do fighting, though.
I love this limit break in this episode, though.
Yeah, the that finisher looks good. It's just the stupid sound effects with the attack that bugs me.
I'm waiting for how long it takes for him to point his finger up at the sky and say something missing all the heavenly glory.
So the satellite, the support satellite,
Sky Vault,
MBUS. So does he have to have line of sight to that to transform, or how does that work?
It seems to imply that the energy from the satellite lasers hits the driver and causes the transformation.
So then what does the switch do?
It says fire the satellite lasers.
Okay, and I'm also wondering about Tachibana. How does he eat and breathe up in the satellite?
Well, he can probably take the mask off when he's not on camera.
Well, it's just a show. You should really just relax.
Thank you.
Well, there is a little slot in front of the mouth, right?
You've already missed it before Max caught it.
Oh, right, satellite, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've watched very little Mystery Science Theater, so it makes sense that I would not catch those jokes immediately. But maybe he just eats a lot of soup because he can stick a straw in his mask.
Or maybe he's a robot.
He's secretly Daft Punk.
He's on a liquid diet. Pulverized bologna sandwiches and split pea soup. Split pea soup has to be one of the most disgusting foods I've ever seen.
Yeah. Terrible about this episode, though, that Overtime included the Superhero Time closer on it, which spoiled Gokaiger for me. Thanks.
Well,
they do include it when they have when there is one.
I know, but it spoiled an episode I hadn't watched yet.
See, and
to be fair, you could kind of figure out the spoilers for that going in.
That hadn't occurred to me, so.
No. Oops. Well, if they would have released them in the broadcast order, it would have been just fine.
If I had watched them in the broadcast order.
Well, why'd you watch Forza first?
Because I wasn't in the mood to watch Gokaiger yet.
How can you not be in the mood to watch Gokaiger? How can that even be a state of being? I don't understand that.
It's about mitigating risk of being interrupted.
Oh, okay. Well, that's...
I wouldn't care if I was interrupted while watching Forza, but Gokaiger want to have a block to sit and watch it straight.
Right, I can understand that. That's not really so much about mood to watch the show. It's just about when it will be the most effective to watch the show.
Yeah, I guess that's a better way of putting it.
Yeah, that I can totally understand. You seem like less of a horrible human being now.
But you're still here, so cancels each other out.
Well, being here, though, just kind of makes me feel sorry for him. But I don't feel sorry for Fort Max.
He earned it.
He was born.
On to Gokaiger?
Yeah, I suppose so. So, Mickey, I think that's your cue.
Yo ho, me mighties, it's time for Pirate Sentai action!
Alright, so two episodes of Gokaiger, and it boils down to being basically about an episode and a half.
Yeah.
Because the first one's a clip show.
But a good clip show.
It's a good clip show. It's just got a lot of filler in it. So,
well, it just proves one thing, though, that I've thought about Gokaiger for a long time, and that basically anything Gokaiger tries to do, it can do well. You know, a clip show is a clip show, but it's always pretty enjoyable.
So they're up in the ship, and they decide, well, it's time to find the last power. Navi, do your thing. Navi does her thing, and it's useless. And then miraculously, they have an epiphany. Oh, let's go to that shrine that we were told to go to. Maybe it'll be a clue there for praying or some shit. And then they find Ninja Man, and they beg him for the powers, blah, blah, and, blah.
And Ninja Man explains how he got back in the bottle.
He beat up a zoo.
In a series of very hilarious illustrations. That was my favorite part of that. It's like a storybook of Ninja Man's failure.
There is one way that could have been done much better.
How's that?
Get the Kaku Ranger narrator.
Oh, I thought you were going to say do it live action, but with really bad costumes.
That would have been good too, actually.
Yeah. You know, yeah. They already have that like panda costume that Jan was wrestling in Geki Ranger. I'm sure they could wrestle up like a gorilla and a lion and a snake.
I'm sure there's recycled props around they could use.
Sure.
So, Marvelous is about to demand the Cock Ranger powers from Ninja Man when, like, everyone freaks out and grabs him saying, stop, this never works, why haven't you learned this yet? So then they go about doing their best to woo Ninja Man. So they cook a lot of food for him, and apparently Joe makes sushi that's shaped like his face, or a cookie, or what?
I think it was some kind of like sweet bun,
a jelly donut.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Marvelous shows up in a period piece costume
and dances with Navi.
Guy is very impressed.
Well, doesn't Marvelous just like, you know, tumble Navi on the top of that parasol?
Yeah. And of course Guy's impressed. He wrote it.
Yeah.
So this is about the point where we just end the clip show hell. Where the Go-Kiders.
No, but first Navi then flies off and crashes into Joe's cooking, and Joe goes and cries over at the chest. He was proud of that.
Joe showing human emotion? It can't be.
It's probably out of continuity.
At least technically not human anyway.
Well, that's true.
Well, no, he's a space human, just like, you know, Andros and Zane are space humans.
Well.
Or something.
Kind of.
Well, whatever.
Wooden space humans.
Well, that includes Andros.
So, after they've finished explaining what their deal is of their powers and what's going on, they show off an all-blue Gokai change.
And then a themed Gokai change.
All lions.
Can you guess the theme? Cut to commercial.
Who's that Pokemon?
Ninja Man amazingly did guess it.
So I guess he's not stupid.
Despite what his American voice actor might suggest.
So anyway.
So then they decide to get to the point of why they're doing all this. They start explaining to Ninja Man the ultimate powers. Cue more stock footage.
But again, it's only the ultimate powers that are for sale.
Well, those are the ones that matter.
Well, we get a short clip of Sosuke, so that's all that really matters.
Not really. Magidragon's there.
Sosuke overpowers Magidragon.
All right, I won't argue that.
So they finally come out and ask Ninja Man for the powers, and he says no.
Well, it's not like he's the first one to say no to them.
But this is the first time Ninja Man has said no. Because apparently he realizes he gets tricked pretty easily.
Well, he's not that bright.
Yeah. But then, you know, around this time is when the greatest part of the whole episode happens. It's when Ninja Man sits in Marvelous's chair.
And Marvelous's fist
immediately goes up to strike him in the background. And they hold him back.
You have Joe holding him back.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny how Marvelous and Joe become a pair for certain comedic segments. Like in the second Jellystone.
So well at it.
Well, yeah, like in the second Jellystone episode where their running theme was being completely disinterested with everything that was going on. You know, that was the first point I noticed it. They've kept it up since then.
I just love that Marvelous got so furious over him sitting in his chair.
Well, that's
the
chair.
Captain's chair.
Yeah, nobody gets to sit in Marvelous's chair.
Well, it is a damn nice chair.
Yeah, it is.
It was Ninja Man that did it, too.
I love Gokaiger.
And then Ninja White's there, too.
Yeah, for some reason.
And says something I couldn't follow with.
But it doesn't matter, because we won't see her again.
No.
Well, they needed an actual actor to cameo for the Kaku Ranger episode.
I don't see why they did need an actual actor for it.
Have somebody to overlay the Ranger face on? I don't know.
I guess. Maybe she wasn't doing anything else at the time.
Well, I'm sure she wasn't. She was on Ghost Ager last year.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Plus, isn't she married to some Toei executive?
That would make a lot of sense, too.
Well, anyway, that was that episode. Such as it was.
Yeah. Could have been worse.
Yeah, so now we get to like the real episode.
So it's a week later and he's still on the galleon.
Don't you just hate when a house guest won't leave?
Yeah. So it basically says, if you want the powers, you're going to have to earn it by shaping up.
That's going to go over great.
So, well, he's taken three of the Go-Cutters that are willing to train down to Earth. The Zangyak are hatching a plan to do something until the reinforcements come, which I don't remember them ever saying were coming in the first place, but
I think they probably ordered them last week when we didn't see the Zangek.
Anyway, so Insarn contacts a kooky witch doctor to make humans turn their anger against each other or something.
So Insarn called the witch doctor and this is what he said?
Yes. Well, man, say it. You're not going to say it, are you?
No.
Damn it.
Move on.
So anyway, Ninja Man makes pink, green, and silver fight, and they almost kill Aim, but they hold back because she's a girl, and girls are weak, belong in the kitchen.
Well, yeah, if they were to kill Aim, who would make them coffee? Well, Doc, but if it was a different show, who would make them coffee?
All right, so Witch Doctor shows up, and they fight. And the rest of the team shows up, and they fight.
And they fight, and they fight, and they keep on fighting.
Then Doc and Guy get shot in the ass.
Yes, Witch Doctor blows them up the ass with his blowgun. Yeah.
So the fight breaks up, and they go back to the ship to eat, and then Doc and Guy act like complete dicks. They start fighting and stealing other people's food.
Marvelous's food.
Yeah, Marvelous is unhappy that they stole his meat.
Although, oddly, he seemed less upset about his meat being stolen than Ninja Man sitting in his chair.
Well, he's used to his food being disturbed.
Well, see, now, I would think he would be more sensitive to his food being taken from him because it happens so often. Nobody's tried to sit in his chair before because everybody knows better.
So, Luca gets irritated at the two of them fighting, so she tells him to shut the hell up, which point they call her a moron. And Luca gets angry. Very, very angry. And she gets restrained from punching someone.
Now that should have been the tip-off right there that something was wrong, because no one would ever call out Luca.
No. Of course, this episode also proves that you shouldn't call out Aim or, you know, try to fight her either. Because she kind of got some moves, even if she does get double-teamed.
And even as they storm off the galleon, Joe and Marvelous still don't quite give a f***.
No.
Well, they were eating.
Yeah. I like that part the best. They're just sitting there continuing to eat while all this is going on around them.
Well, I mean, I imagine strife at the dinner table is sort of a pirate tradition.
Probably. I'm sure that was a common...
Considering the flashback of what it was like before Luca joined.
You mean Aim?
Yeah, before Aim joined.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. That probably happened a lot before she came and stabilized the group.
So that's probably why the three of them didn't even care.
Yeah, they're used to it.
So while Ninja Man and Aim chase after Green and
Ninja
Silver...
Ninja Man's first all, dude, what the fuck?
So Marvelous Joe and Luca think, you know what, there's probably some connection to the monster. Navi, come look at this and see if you can figure something out. And they do.
Because Marvelous deflected one of those blowgun shots with his sword earlier.
Yeah. It doesn't really matter how, but, you know, they go track down the
Marvelous
monster.
Has the forensic evidence, so they went all CSI this
enhanced.
Week. Yeah, they zoomed in and got a clear shot of the monster's face.
They found the monster's IP address hidden using a GUI.
Yeah. They zoomed in and enhanced is what I was going for.
Yeah.
And then track down his headquarters using multimodal reflection sorting.
That was Star Trek, not CSI.
Oh, it's all the same technobabble.
Do they use tachyons?
I don't think tachyons
no, it must have been
were...
magnets, because how the f*** do they work?
I don't think tachyons were in style that season, when they had multimodal reflection sorting.
So Guy and Doc morph and fight, and Guy yells at the blue clown to let him go.
Well, he's not a blue clown. He's Ninja Man.
Mickey?
Oh, sorry. I was distracted. Green and Silver morph and begin to try and kill each other, and Aim does something retarded and says, I'll stand here and unmorphed and get my ass kicked, and y'all just try and kill me. And they can't do it. Because she's Aim. Mm-hmm. Their good hearts beat the monster's magic. Eh.
And red stuff explodes out of their chests.
He's been foiled by the power of love.
Or friendship,
like
at least.
Predicted. So, the team's reunite and start finding the Witch Doctor, and they use the Khaki Ranger powers. Ninja Man's helping out. It's all groovy. So the
and Guy has to rely on Gold Mode because he doesn't have another Khaki Ranger key.
He should have imagined one.
Yeah,
green Kaku Ninja Silver. Green or Ninja Green or something. I don't know.
He could have imagined a Samurai Man key.
Or he should have turned into like Kiba Ranger or one of the Jew Rangers.
A Lord Zed key.
No, the Dark Ranger keys.
All right, so Monster blows up. Everyone goes back to normal worldwide. And then Megazord battle. Blah, blah, blah. Time for Khaki Ranger ultimate powers. And surprise, it's just Ninja Man.
After another one of those sequences of putting the key in and, hey, nothing happened.
And Daijujin just looking over like, what?
So the last ultimate power is just Ninja Man gets taller. That's kind of a letdown.
Didn't he used to be able to do that on his own?
Anything.
Well, no one called him a blue twerp or anything after he was Megazord sized. So of course he couldn't transform.
Maybe they took that power away before they stuck him back in the bottle.
No, see, that's what...
No, it's just that the Monster of the Week was smart enough to not insult him.
No, no, see what it is? Samurai Man is the actual ultimate power, but Ninja Man doesn't know what the ultimate power is, so he didn't know to do that.
Well, he can't become Samurai Man without being called a blue twerp or something first, so...
Okay, so it's like Mach Falcon, where the Gokaigers need to have some information to know what they need to do to make the ultimate power work. They have to turn the keys, make him grow, and then call him a blue twerp or blue clown or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's how that works. And then Bosco shows up.
Which introduces our next story arc. Let's get those last powers back.
And Ninja Man just flies away on the Flying Nimbus.
Apparently he's become pure of heart again.
So yeah, that was 2 episodes ago, Kaiser.
Yes.
They were pretty good.
Not quite as fast as 2 episodes of Forze. But oh well.
They were okay. I've seen worse episodes.
Considering one of them was a clip show, I think it did pretty good.
I just totally let down that this was the last ultimate power to reveal. And, you know, half it was a clip show and the other half was just kind of normal.
Have we actually seen all the ultimate powers? I know they got like 11 in the movie that they haven't even used.
Well, there's no toys associated with those.
I was really, really hoping that Go Ranger was going to be the last one. And they would do something big.
Thematically, that would have made sense, but I guess not. Oh, well. But either way, you have to admit this was at least better than the Boy on the Mountain episode.
Yes, it was.
I would say that's like the worst episode of the series, and even then, that wasn't that terrible.
So next week, they fight Bosco.
After taking in his monkey.
Because they're retarded.
Apparently so.
I blame Guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, Guy probably talked them into it. He imagined them agreeing with him to take the monkey in, and so they did. Alright, so anything else before we go to break?
At the moment, I think.
Okay, good, good.
Oh, wait, yeah, there was a teaser preview for Go Buster at the end of this week's Gokaiger.
The same one that there was at the end of last week's Gokaiger.
That I did not mention.
No, you didn't. So there was a 15-second teaser of Go Buster, and it has now actually taken me longer to tell you that than the teaser lasted.
Yellow's hair still looks bad.
Yes, Yellow's hair does still look bad. I think they'll fix it within the first few episodes, though. We'll be back to Power Playback in just a minute.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Welcome back to Paladin's Place, preferred provider of mechanized melee. This week, Superhero Time examines Gowranger, which features probably the greatest level of Zord interaction in any Sentai series to date. But I don't have the time or attention span necessary to cover everything in the series. Instead, this review section will focus on the Megazord used in our Power Playback special. This is the strongest combination of the 100 beasts, Gow Icarus.
Megazord sequence has been initiated.
The Mecha and Gowranger are actually an ancient species known as the Power Animals, which have grown gigantic and metallic due to absorbing planet Earth's sacred energies. Earlier combinations featured more traditional Sentai animals. Lion, gorilla, shark, elephant, etc., but the members of Team Icarus are a bit less mainstream. For example, the right arm in this combination is Gao Giraffe, which forms a gigantic orange spear. The left arm is even stranger, made by Gao Deer and transforming into a claw-like weapon known as the Crosshorn. The legs are formed by Gao Rhino, with some minor support from the smaller power animal Gao Armadillo. They were released as a set. And the final piece of this particular combination is the massive Gao Falcon, the largest single power animal release. Aside from the unusual animal specimens, the power animal Zords aren't really that interesting. They all feature the same basic transformation sequence, fold up the limbs and fold out the connection ports. But the final fusion of animals makes up for that in my book. Gao Icarus is a very impressive combination, managing to blend together a variety of visual elements into a unique and memorable design. Icarus' massive wings are the unifying element to this, which is disappointing because the connection points at the upper wingtips are somewhat weak. Occasionally, when transforming Gao Falcon, I've had to reattach the wings several times. It's a noticeable flaw, but not bad enough to condemn the Megazord. When they work, Gao Icarus' wings offer several important features. The outer tips can fold up to reveal holofoil eyes that Icarus uses to paralyze enemies. And the entire wing structure can fold over the Megazord, acting as a defense shield, which also makes it much easier to keep this one on the shelf by taking up less space. Articulation is barely worth mentioning. There's just some rotation in the upper arms, like 90% of all Megazords ever made. But I can forgive that thanks to the real power of the 100 Beasts. Any Megazord in the Gowranger line can use these animals as substitutes for the standard combination pieces thanks to a set of universal connector joints incorporated throughout the series. This allows for some incredible combos and an impressive arsenal for the Gowrangers. The added play value is more than enough for me to overlook Icarus's lackluster movements. Overall, I'd say Gao Icarus is everything I want in a deluxe Megazord, a great blend of detail and play value acting as a cornerstone to this unique series. Gao Icarus was renamed the Isis Megazord for its American release, but unfortunately its distribution was somewhat limited. The only changes in this release were cosmetic, so Isis could be a cost-effective alternative for collectors. And I can strongly recommend you pick this one up. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more Superhero Time.
You are the king! You are the king! You are the king!
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna, and do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record. News, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, you're on the Street Fighter 3.
You're listening to Power Playback on Superhero Time. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at Superhero_Time.
Okay, so Power Playback this week is Gowranger. Because why the heck
Gal
not?
Gal Banana.
Yeah. Gal!
Pounce.
Banana.
You're supposed to say banana faster than that. You've ruined the joke.
Oh, whatever.
So, you know, Wild Force adapted most of Gowranger and did so pretty closely to the original, but there was
mixed levels of quality.
Well, every episode that had Rick Medina must have been of the utmost quality, right?
Wasn't he in all the episodes?
So there you go. But there were a few episodes of Gowranger that did not get adapted into Wild Force for whatever reason. And so, just to do something different, so it wouldn't be like, well, we might as well just have watched the Wild Force episode, I thought we'd pick out one of those unadapted episodes. So we went with, what was it, episode 34?
34, yes.
Yes.
With one of the strangest monster designs in their series.
The Mighty Org Weeps. Wherein you will understand the plight of this chicken. So, Paladin, you want to start talking about that?
All right. The episode begins with Highness Duke Orgris Resetsu, desperate for a good meal because the Gal Rangers have killed his favorite cooks. So Jindrax and Toxica are ordered to seek out the ultimate chef in order to make him happy.
So is that like seeking out
like a Food Network show?
Is that like seeking out an ultimate power?
Yeah, I'd watch that. Meanwhile, the charcoal grill org is confronted by the Gal Rangers, but he manages to escape with the secret ancient org technique of "Hey, look over there."
Here's a little hint: the Gal Rangers aren't that bright. But I gotta say, I've watched almost all of Gal Ranger now, and Gal Yellow is one of my favorite characters, like in all of Sentai.
Why?
Well, he's hilarious most of the time.
Especially when he Englishes.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, too, that Yellow and Wild Force only became, like, this interesting developed character part of the time, just because Yellow was a dude in Japan. That's really a sad trombone moment right there.
They were forced to carry over the character's yeah. importance.
Now, of course, if it was being done like Samurai was, they would have to lose, like, half the episode plots just to downplay Yellow's importance.
Or they just make Yellow a dude again.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, they should have made Blue a girl in Wild Force. Then there would have been no character importance to carry over. Alright, so carry on.
Carry over.
Yes.
Well, after being distracted by his secret escape tactic, the Gal Rangers are distracted again by a peddler offering free samples of grilled Odin.
No, actually, first, aren't they distracted by crashing into a couple of other orcs?
Oh, yes, of course. They run into the Duke orcs and try to fight them off, but eventually they just part ways again.
Well, that's enough action. Let's go into the plot.
Well, they know what happens when you... Well, they don't... They sure don't want to end up being the monsters of the week. They know what happens to those.
So somehow they're able to smell cooking through their helmets.
Probably the same way Probably the same way that one would sneeze through their helmets.
Well, Black has the nose of a bull.
Try to clean off a core metal through the helmet. And so they all stuff themselves at the cart because the owner agrees to give it to them for free if they actually like the way it tastes, which is a really bad business decision.
Yeah,
if you go into an alleyway and someone offers you free food, do not accept.
In Japan, they probably know that.
But it smells so good.
And again, we've already established the Gal Rangers aren't that bright.
Yeah.
And Gal Yellow...
This rat's delicious. Try some of this possum.
And Gal Yellow won't eat chicken because his power animal is also a bird.
But he understands the plight of this chicken and gives it to Black instead.
Yes, there's a phrase I never thought I'd see in a Super Sentai. I understand the plight of this chicken.
And that's just one example today of why Gal Yellow is great.
So after stuffing themselves, they all stagger back to the hideout where the princess has no idea what the fuck has happened. And just in her minimal scenes in this episode, I'm declaring her 10 times better than the princess we got in Wild Force.
Yeah, pretty much.
I love how they all go back home and pass out into food comas.
On their lawn chairs.
Yeah.
Which is strange because they all have bedrooms inside the giant turtle rock. But whatever.
The Duke orgs are still trying to chase down the charcoal grill org, which does not end well. Because he wants nothing to do with them for some reason.
He just wants to be left alone to cook.
Well, they haven't explained that yet.
It's implied.
Next morning, the org pool goes off, so they have to go out hunting again, and they find Charcoal Grill and immediately assume that he has stolen the food cart from the old man they met the other day.
What a dick.
Well, he's an org. They're all dicks. But Sataro chases him down and realizes that the old man is Charcoal Grill.
Shocking!
Surprise.
And we wait for Paladin to catch back up with the episode.
Sorry. So, Charcoal tells his story that he took on human form about 50 years ago once he saw how many people genuinely enjoyed what he cooked, so he could have a normal life cooking for people instead of causing chaos like the rest of his kind. But that makes him a weirdo to the other orcs.
Makes him a weirdo to me, too.
Well, you can tell that just by looking at him. So now he only fights when people criticize his cooking.
I like how, you know, I've been peaceful for 50 years, but, you know, he was cooking before that time he accidentally grilled a potato. He was grilling people.
Okay.
You know, it's like, you know, that's fine. You know, you've been cooking, being nice for 50 years. We don't care about the people you murdered before that.
Oh, they were probably dicks, too. And again, like we said, the Gow Rangers ain't that bright.
Dumb animals.
But not a stupid monkey among them.
Well, not in this one, anyway. That's in a different Megazord. So Black and Yellow discuss it and decide there's really no harm in letting Charcoal Grill Org live to keep cooking for people as long as they still get food from him.
Not that bright.
And their theory falls apart when Jindrax and Toxica come in to brainwash Charcoal and smash his card in the process.
Oh, and don't forget about the stupid kid.
I was trying to, but thanks.
At least he was wearing pants.
Yeah, so we have Gao Nozomu.
Is he in more than one episode?
Yes, he is.
Damn.
Oh, my pen just broke.
Flip the switch.
Huh?
Pen switch.
I don't have a pen switch. Otherwise, I wouldn't be so sad about my pen breaking. So yeah, talk about stupid kid.
There's a stupid kid who's sad, but he gets... But his feelings are healed by the Charcoal Grill Org's cooking. Moving on.
Free food makes everybody feel better.
Well, that depends on the food.
Free food always tastes good, because it's free.
What if it's free Indian food?
Well, well, then it tastes good now, but it's going to hurt later.
And, crap, where the hell was that? All right, they fight for the third time while Black and Yellow team up to try and convince Charcoal that he doesn't have to fight them. Until he's shot in the back by Retsu for betraying his kind. And he melts into a pile of green goo.
Do they all the orgs do that? Or
yes.
Just him?
No, they all do that. Although usually there's an explosion first, they don't just, you know, melt down. But when they die, they turn into a puddle of green goo.
So Toxica feeds him the magic peanuts to make him grow super size. And in this form, he's robbed of his spirit and intelligence, so the Gow Rangers form Gow Icarus to take him down for good. And I think Gow Icarus is probably the best of their combinations.
I would like to see more of it. Not CG.
Yeah, that doesn't happen very much.
Fortunately, the flying one doesn't lend itself to a lot of practical suit work.
Does Gow Ranger really use terrible CGI?
Well, of course, it's Japanese. And more of the point is...
The first seats are really heavily, isn't it?
More of the point, it's like Toei CGI, which is like extra bad.
And it's like 15-year-old Toei CGI.
You know, if you think to like the Tamika Rescue Force... Remember the CGI in that movie?
I do. It was excellent.
Yeah, that was beautiful CGI. I mean, just because it's Japanese CGI doesn't mean it has to be terrible. It's just whatever Toei's doing.
The suit and effects works are usually done better with Gao Hunter, but hey, he's not in this episode, so f*** it.
Oops! Yeah, why isn't he in this episode? That's kind of weird.
He was probably off trying to bang the princess again.
No, I don't think they have that dynamic in Gao Ranger.
Well, they should. It might make things more interesting.
No, see, Silver in Gao Ranger was actually into the princess's grandmother. But, you know,
yeah, that sounds like Japan.
But she died a while ago, so, you know, that's not really going anywhere anymore.
Well, it could. Maybe that's why he's off camera in this episode.
All right.
You wanted to jump her bones?
Oh, yeah. Necrophilia.
So, anyway, after the Megazord fight, they all mourn the loss of Charcoal Grill Org and his delicacies, but the final twist of the episode reveals that he somehow miraculously survived the Megazord onslaught and is still grilling for humans.
No, no, no. What the implication is that his spirit reincarnated as a human and is already back out there cooking.
His spirit reincarnated as a 50-year-old man?
Well,
See? No, he didn't die yet. He didn't die at all. Remember, he only got blown up once.
Yeah, but he turned into the green goo the first time. That means he's dead. Orgs only do that when they die. Whether or not he exploded.
And you usually have to die three times to be dead for good.
3 times?
Isn't that the rule?
I don't think. Either way, though, the implication in the episode is that the old man reincarnated as a human instead of an orc. But I guess he reincarnated 50 years ago when he was still alive already.
This doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, yeah, that's why
it's
never...
happy ending, even if it doesn't make any f***ing sense.
That's why I could never really follow the whole idea of reincarnation. Because, like, okay, how do you reincarnate if you're already alive at the time that you reincarnate? Doesn't make any sense. Because you're there already, and wouldn't that just form a black hole or something?
So... Nope, that's your mom.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously that's what's going on with your mom. She dies and reincarnates as herself over and over again, and it's just all filling up in the same space, and that's why she's so massive and whorish.
Your mom does not conserve matter.
No.
Consumes.
She violates the law of conservation of matter.
Sexually.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that she breaks it, but obviously she breaks everything because she's so massive and fat.
She's responsible for the meat death of the universe.
Your mom breaks wind. By which I mean, you know, she's like a natural barrier to the flow of air. She's like a mountain.
She's like driving behind a semi-truck on the highway.
Well, no, she's like a mountain where there's different weather patterns depending which side of her you're standing on.
The smell's the same as the semi-truck.
No, the smell of diesel's not that bad. Not like it's the smell of methane or anything.
Yeah, I imagine the smell's also different depending on which side you're on.
Are we near the ocean? So after the episode ends, we get Power Rangers' incredibly weird closing credit sequence.
I think this was actually the last episode that closing sequence was used on, too.
I don't think the Gow Rangers weren't actually in this episode all that much. It's weird.
Well, Yellow and Black were in it pretty much. But yeah, it's just one of those kind of episodes.
On the whole, I like Gow Ranger a lot more than Wild Force. Everything just seems a lot more natural in it.
I suppose so. I'm just kind of stuck on, you know, how similar Wild Force was made to Gow Ranger, and it's kind of hard to separate them in my mind.
Well, at least we don't have to hear the Wild Force singing in this episode.
No Wild Force access?
Wild Force asses.
Well, yeah, what do you think they kept Rick Medina around for? Pants right off. But yeah, I've been enjoying Gow Ranger pretty well. You know, for the first 2/3 of the series, what really makes a difference between it and Wild Force is there's no Master Org character.
Now see, that's kind of a disappointment to me, because I like that arc in Wild Force.
Yeah, that was one of the things Wild Force ended up doing pretty well. And especially with how they arranged for the real Master Org to revive in Wild Force. Which was by the seeds of Master Org that Adler had eaten. Once Adler died, they turned his dead body into the raw materials to become a new Master Org. Which is just like all kinds of awesome for Power Rangers.
Even though they can't actually say it because of the damn sensors.
Right, but you know, if you're paying attention, it's pretty clear what happened. That was the writer intent, though, with that scene. He falls off the cliff and dies, and then Master Org revives in his dead body.
Wasn't it also writer's intent to have Cole's parents be Jindrax and Toxica?
If so, that's the first I've heard of it. But it was the writer's intent for the Jungle Blaster to have come from Tommy. It was supposed to show up in the mail on the Animarium one day with a return label from Tommy Oliver.
Why?
Did that show up after Forever Red?
I don't remember.
Why would you even put that in the series?
Because Amit Baumek. He ended up doing a lot of writing for Wild Force, and before he became a writer for Power Rangers, he was a devoted Power Rangers fanboy.
At this point,
I
still
Tommy
rather...
send them a weapon? Like, why wouldn't they just have Billy send it to him? That would make more sense.
Because Amit's intention was to set up that Tommy was running this, like, network of like support groups for Power Rangers while he was not on screen.
Yeah, wasn't he going to lead a war against the Phantom Ranger or some shit?
Yes, that was the original pitch for Ninja Storm. Fortunately, what? That never happened.
What?
It's only strange because it's true.
Well, it does seem like we've been better than the Ninja Storm we got.
And the Samurai we've got.
I'd love to know how they would have fit the Phantom Ranger into Ninja Storm.
Well, he's just a guy in a suit, so it's not like there's any secret identity to work around. You know, probably what that was based around was looking at the early part of Hurricaneer, where there was the two teams that were opposed to each other. So, naturally, that would be a good basis for having opposing Power Ranger factions.
Yes.
But really, the whole concept was just really ill-advised, and it's good that that never actually happened. But in the meantime, yeah, writer intent was that the Jungle Blaster was developed by Tommy and sent to the Animarium in the mail.
Maybe it was supposed to be a thank you for using your motorcycle to blow up Serpentera.
I really think the Jungle Blaster premiered before Forever Red, but I can't say for sure.
Yeah, I know at least with that, the production numbers were off out simply because of that was really the only time that they could get all those actors at the same time, or were close to the same time.
It always made me wonder, though, how does the mailman get up to the Animarium to deliver their mail?
Airmail.
Boo. I hate you so much. Okay, so what do we do next week?
The Raw for the O's Wonderful movie is out, so it's probably going to be subbed soon.
So what do we do next week?
How about Dragon Knight?
Why?
I don't know, because it sounded better than O's Wonderful.
Really?
Yes.
O's Wonderful as Cake Boss.
How about some Ryukendo?
Well, we did Ryukendo like a year and a half ago.
Okay.
Or something.
How about Rescue Fire? We haven't done that one yet.
Well, we could. I wonder if the video quality on that is any better than Ryukendo. See, how
I don't
many
remember Ryukendo's video quality being all that bad.
It wasn't great.
Oh, okay.
Let's see, Rescue Fire. Where? There it is. I guess Rescue Fire didn't have a movie. No fiery explosive runs.
Well, they didn't have Indian food then.
Okay, so that was a 51-episode series. Well, let's look up and see if we can find a good episode to watch. Let's see, episodes. No descriptions, that's not helpful.
Yeah, of course.
And it looks like this one doesn't have Date's actor in it. Looks
that
like
was
it's an all-new cast.
Force, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Congratulations, you won.
Who won? What kind of websites are you looking at over there, Paladin?
Everything legal.
How about episode 15, New Friends, Enter the Sky Team?
Oh, the Go On Wings?
Well, 'cause that means the show's already fairly well established at this point, and we get an introduction to new things as well.
It really does sound like the Go On Wings, because the next episode is Make the Sky Combination, Super Jet Falcon. Of course, if it was the Go On Wings, it would be like Super Jet Rooster, but, you know.
19 is five-piece combination. It's not like a meal you'd buy at the restaurant.
Super Jet Falcon.
Oh, number 29 is called Heated Man.
Oh, my. So there's dragon vehicles, falcon vehicles. So what are the other ones?
Actually, let's look at pictures of the toys and decide which one looks like the most awesome. We'll pick an episode featuring it.
There's also the X-Dragon. See, the thing I love about the Rescue Force franchise is like the gear and weapons. One of the things they have is the Rescue Megaphone. And then I remember seeing one of the other toys, which was basically a chainsaw gun.
So a Lancer?
Or it's a gun that shoots chainsaws.
That would be really cool if it was a gun that shot chainsaws. So, Mickey, did you find anything that looks good yet?
I haven't found, like, hardly any pictures of all of this shit.
There must be pictures.
It's very frustrating.
There must be pictures of them somewhere.
I'm trying to find stuff on YouTube now because Google Image Search wasn't doing shit for me.
Or it just means we need to pick something else.
Look, I mean, we know that the CGI stuff is good in this series, so we might as well pick something that sort of focuses on it.
Yeah, and in that case, you could use episode 19, a five-piece combination.
Yeah, let's do 19 then.
All right, that can work.
Although episode 21 is swimsuit suit-up special training at the beach.
That doesn't sound as good as the explosive runs. Well, 23 sounds even better. A big traffic jam will rescue fire make it in time? Wouldn't you just love to see a team defeated by bad traffic?
Yeah, let's do that one.
Isn't that basically Car Ranger?
23 it is.
What else do they have? Yeah, so far that seems like the best title. Well, okay, no, I take that back. Chocolate Flames, a Tumultuous Valentine's Day sounds better.
Damn, it sounds like we should be seeing that for a Valentine's Day show, though. So we're not.
We're missing it.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Maybe.
Maybe for the third year. Actually, that'd be the fourth year. We're in the third year now. Damn, we're in the third year. Yeah. Okay, so 23 it is.
And it's available in HD.
So Rescue Force or Rescue Fire?
Rescue Fire.
Rescue Fire.
Okay. Are we going to do the O is Wonderful if it gets subbed at some point?
Well,
depends
at
on
some
how tolerable
point.
It is.
I mean, I'm not like super enthusiastic for it or anything. Especially since apparently it's also out of continuity. That makes me less interested.
I'm just kind of over O's. The more time passes, the less I care.
Yeah, I pretty much feel the same way about it. Those last few episodes really kind of ruined it for me.
We won't get Megamax for like another 8 months.
Yeah, and the only reason to watch Megamax will be to have Double in it for whatever few minutes he is. They are, whatever.
They is.
Ain't they?
They am.
Show enough.
Oh, that's who.
We haven't done that one in a while. So, do we have any more show?
Doesn't sound like
record time.
Yeah, this is entirely too short for having four episodes of stuff to watch in the weeklies. We need to have like a samurai episode or something in there.
Nobody needs to have a samurai episode.
That would only add another 3 minutes onto the podcast, though.
Well, it looks like we're going to get like a whole other extra year's worth of samurai episodes. By which I mean, you know, another 20 weeks spread out across the next 11 months.
Super.
That's supposed to begin again sometime in February, isn't it?
Just like Prime. Except I actually want to see Prime.
So how many episodes did the first season of Power Rangers have in it?
40? 39?
60, wasn't it?
Well, okay, I count up to Doomsday as the first real season, but there was a lot more than what Samurai had in its first so-called season.
Yeah, so we get like a third of a season now for a whole
year? Of course,
year.
You have to look at it this way, too. You know, the first season of Power Rangers through Oyster Stew had 60-something episodes, whereas, you know, most Power Rangers series that followed never had that many episodes again, total. You know, it dropped down to 45, then 40, and then finally by the end of the Disney era, it was down to 32 episodes per series. So if Samurai was a typical series, there would only be another, like, 12 episodes to go.
But people would want finished that in a year. So we have it.
There'd be 12 more episodes to go, and it would still be spread over the next 11 months.
I don't understand.
Anything?
I'm just like, how you can have a show run for 2 years with so few episodes? It's like it's Ren and Stimpy all over again.
Well, it is on Nickelodeon.
And it's about the same quality.
No, I mean, that just seems to be how Nickelodeon does things. You know, they spread a few episodes out over an entire year without any, like, regular scheduling. You know, think back to how Avatar ran.
I don't know. I only watched Avatar on DVD, so.
Well, see, that would be better, but for those of us that actually watched it as it was airing, you know, you'd get one or two episodes and then wait a month or more before the next batch of episodes was done or broadcast.
That'd be highly irritating.
It was highly irritating. It also made the show feel like it lasted for about 5 years. Despite only having, like, 3 seasons. Actually, in that case, it probably did last for 5 years. And then, of course, they've been teasing the new Avatar series for over a year, and it has yet to actually start.
Bits and pieces keep leaking out, but there's no official date for it yet.
I think it's just some elaborate hoax. It doesn't really
exist. Well, they gotta do something to apologize for the movie.
That's true. Perhaps there will be some reference to that in the show. Oh, wait, there was before the movie was ever made. Yep, see, that's probably the episode that M. Night Shyamalan watched. Like, the only one he ever saw. I figured that's just how it was supposed to be.
Someone said, if you watch this, you'll get a summary of the whole series.
Yes, exactly.
Perfect, that's all I need to see.
But the effects were decent.
Yeah, the effects were hit and miss.
Well, that's what they said in the episode. That was their reaction to the play about them.
Oh, I don't remember that much detail about it.
I remember stupid shit, sorry.
Well, yeah, you have to, because otherwise who would? You gotta take one for the team.
Your mom took one from the team. Every member of the team.
Simultaneously.
Very roomy.
So, spacious. Are we done, or?
I have no idea.
We never have any idea.
We haven't hit 2 hours yet. How can we be done?
We started at 7:30.
Actually, we started at like 6:50 Central Time. I wanted to start at 6:30, but, you know, somebody was eating.
Hey, we start when I log on to Skype. That's when we officially began.
If I don't have a recording of it, we're not started yet. So next time you want to throw that excuse up, you better get your headset on and have us hearing you eating for the first 25 minutes. So there.
Well, if you insist.
Well, it's not like it's anything worse than what we usually hear. Right, Fort Max?
I'm not even going to answer that.
Fort Max has been a lot less fun lately. You notice that?
I think he's sleepy.
All that school is taking it out of him. He's probably being this, like, witty cut-up at school all day. And then by the time we get him, he's just, like, this old, worn-out bag. Like your mom.
I like to imagine he's just come back from ballroom dancing lessons.
Or, like, skydiving class. Fort Max, have you ever jumped out of a perfectly good plane?
No.
Have you ever jumped out of a not-so-good plane?
You want me to tell you about gladiators?
Surely you're drinking.
I'm intrigued. Yes, Fort Max, tell us a story. No, seriously, tell us a story. I don't think he's going to tell us a story.
Okay, good.
All right, well, we ran out of stuff to talk about, so typo on XV in this shit.
Damn. Oh, that's what we're supposed to say when we start, isn't it?
We did.
Yeah, you did, didn't you? My poor broken pen. All right, so that's our show for this week. Blah, 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 blah. What are we doing next time?
Rescue Fire.
What episode?
The one about the traffic jam, 23.
Okay, then.
Good enough.
It'll be great, trust us. We haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure you'll love it.
Oh, yeah, that never backfires at all.
Just like Armor Hero. Because this time it's not my fault because it's not my idea.
And Godspeed Love. Which was your idea.
But I'm going to blame Barricade for that one. Just because I can.
Fair.
Yeah. Oh, Mickey, how far along are you in Kabuto now?
I just finished the first episode of the Bee, and oh, I haven't watched anything since then.
Okay.
I don't watch too many at a time. I get tired of sitting on the couch.
You should still do the episode with Drake at some point.
Well, maybe I'll get to it.
Yeah, maybe when Mickey gets around to watching it, we can do that week.
I like the Bee.
Ultimate makeup. Okay, well,
the Bee's final attack, then he stabs you in the chest with a big needle. Awesome. your heart. Stab.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time then. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
So long.
Goodbye.
I think we need to replace Fort Max.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Follow us on Twitter at Superhero_Time for weekly power playback and updates about the show. Visit tfradio.net or find us on iTunes for previous episodes and to subscribe to the show. Superhero Time is a TF Radio Network production. Copyright 2012.
Fort Max, why aren't you any fun anymore? You used to be like the mascot of the show.
I thought your mom was our mascot.
Well, that came later. We had to switch to her when we got bored with Fort Max.
You were like our Furby guy from Saban's Masked Rider. Whatever his name was.
Furby guy.
You used to be a Furby guy, but now you're just a Nozomo.